Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is a great headline. This is a headline that caught my eye earlier this morning from one of the liberal blogs out there that tries to masquerade as a news website. Here's the headline. State moves to disqualify district judge from bathroom bill lawsuit. Yeah, if you guys remember, you've got a far-left Missoula district court judge, Shane Van Atta, who basically is pushing his own personal agenda. He's an LGBTQ judge who apparently thinks that men deserve more privacy rights than women. So he thinks men should be able to go into the girls' bathroom anytime they want and also take away their opportunities in sports. And so because I'm assuming here because this judge shows such a personal bias and an inability to judge this case fairly, the state is moving to disqualify this far-left district judge from ruling on this lawsuit. Anyway, John Jackson, the Joker from X, with us here on this Tuesday. John, I'll tell you what, I just love the fact that the state of Montana, you know, our attorney general, our governor, are no longer playing games with these people, or better yet, not playing their game anymore. You know, they're going to push their personal agenda. We're going to keep fighting time after time again to carry out the agenda for the people of Montana against their personal agendas, right?
Yeah, and if you've watched for the last 15, 16 years how the left plays this game, you know they play it to win at all times by any means necessary. So what is your marching orders at every corner? It is WWDD. What would Democrats do? And it's exactly what they would do. They would point out the obvious conflict of interest that these different judges have in these different cases and file the motions to get them kicked off the case, get the case transferred, and take it all the way to the Montana Supreme Court if you have to. I mean, you do this just like they do.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is I think it's important that they continue to highlight how far left the Democrat Party has become, how far left these left-wing judges are, and how far left the liberal mob on the Montana Supreme Court is. Because even the Democrats in that secret memo that got unveiled after the legislative session, they pointed out in their own memo that the more these cases get put in front of the people of Montana, the more it will erode the Montana voters' support for their Supreme Court candidates. So that's another reason why it's important that state officials continue to not only fight for the interests of Montanans, but they continue to expose how crazy these left-wing judges are and how crazy these far-left Supreme Court justices and their candidates are as well. All right, lots to talk about here on this Tuesday. We've got the phone lines open for you as well, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Back with the Joker and you right after this.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, now you guys got to help me out today. I got a couple things I want to talk about. I got a new bumper sticker idea out there. I want to get John's take on another Montana official bailing on the Democrat Party. I want to hear his thoughts on that. But other than that, you know, hey, what do you want to talk about? Give us a ring, 406-294-0970. Phone lines are open across Montana. In fact, let's take you to Big Timber first here. We've got Mike on the phone lines right now. Mike, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for taking my call. Good morning, gentlemen. Mark Levin made a great point last night on his show. It seems like a certain politician was very upset that the folks that were blown out of the water a couple of weeks ago bringing drugs in weren't given due process. And he made the point, what are you supposed to do, stop the boat, arrest them, bring them to the States, you know, give them due process. I didn't know that illegals and these kind of people are supposed to get due process. Am I wrong there? Or are they allowed due process even though they're illegal?
Well, it's even more than being illegal. This is an officially designated terrorist organization. This is the narco-terrorist Trende Aragua group. John Jackson, you're a retired federal law enforcement officer. Yeah, walk us through your response on that one.
Yeah, the first thing you said is absolutely correct. They are a designated terror organization. In other words, they're on the list. They're on the top 40, Casey Kasem's top 40 hit list. They can be eliminated anywhere in the world that they are found. Second of all, this is in international waters, okay? There is no due process afforded to these people that are out in international waters. And see, this is the lie that the left uses anytime they want to stop something. They just want to throw lawfare at you and try to make you think they're trying to be fair and just and even here. No, they're not. They're trying to stop you from stopping bad guys and drugs coming into this country because they are a bunch of evil communists that want to destroy you.
I was trying to look at the response that Vice President J.D. Vance had to say when somebody popped off in a similar regard. But first, as I'm scrolling through my x.com/AaronFlint feed here, I shared this one from the Babylon Bee, the great satirical website, about 18 hours ago. Navy airdrops public defender onto drug boat to give cartel members due process. That's pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, well, you know, yesterday, John, on the show, you know, I was talking about on Friday, I got a chance to listen into the Border Patrol agent in charge who spoke at the Glacier Pachyderm Club in Kalispell on Friday. And kind of on a related note here, you know, one of the things he was taught, somebody asked the question, they said, do you know how many illegal aliens were flown into Montana on these secret flights? Remember when they were, you know, when the Biden tester regime was flying illegal aliens all over the country and then airdropping them into communities all across the country? He says They were given no information about who and when and where these illegal aliens were showing up at. But what's very interesting about that entire program, the point that he made, which you and I knew it at the time, of course, is that the reason they started flying all of these, you know, what was it, the Cuban, Haitian, Nicaraguan, Venezuelan, what was the CHNV was the acronym? I forget the exact acronym. The reason they started flying all these people into the country is because they were getting so embarrassed by how many of them were showing up on the southern border. So the Biden regime said, you know what, let's just go get a bunch of airplanes and go fly them in instead. So that way people don't see all the people on the southern border that we're allowing to flood into the country.
Second only to the COVID atrocity in scale of crime was the illegal alien invasion that the Biden regime inflicted on this country. And why that is not top of the list of the FBI to be investigating and hauling people into court over, I don't know. Well, all I do know what they're doing right now, the FBI is doing, is cosplaying as DEA agents. They're out of their lane trying to be drug enforcers rather than doing the damn job that they were sent there to do.
Well, and then some more highlights from that. In case you didn't get a chance to hear it yesterday, John, you know, the other thing is these protesters, these left-wing protesters that have been targeting our Border Patrol agents on the ground here in Montana, at least one of them has leveled death threats against our federal agents in the Border Patrol. And I think they need to go. They need to go after the groups that are funding this Flathead Democracy group, and they need to launch a full investigation into who is targeting our federal agents like this. Not only were there death threats, but they were doxing these federal agents too, and trying to follow them home in their personal vehicles.
The bottom line is the hard thing is going to have to get done here, Aaron. If it doesn't, it's going to get cranked back to 11 when Gavin Newsom comes in here in 28 or 32. And why they aren't out here, not only, like you say, charging these criminals out here for doxing and threatening, but investigating this money. We have been pounding this issue out on our podcast, on our spaces for 8 months. We're still not there. There are hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of our tax money floating around out here for all of these criminal groups, and no one's doing anything about it.
Vice President J.D. Vance, back to the narco terror boat that was taken out by our great U.S. Military and federal law enforcement organizations. Vice President J.D. Vance had this to say: killing cartel members who poison our fellow citizens is the highest and best use of our military. All right, quick break. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970.
Did you? Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me throw out the bumper sticker idea real fast here with our friend John Jackson, the Joker from X, because then I think the other topic, I think we'll have a little bit more of a back and forth, a little more conversation to it. So real quickly, John, I think you already saw it on X just a few minutes ago, but, you know, we were sad this weekend to hear of the passing of our friend Dwayne Ankeny. Just a great, you know, gruff, one-liner deliverer, common sense kind of guy, pro coal mining. I mean, I called him, this was just the first thought that came to mind, the king of Montana coal families, because every day he went to bat for the coal families in Colstrip and really across the state and across the country. And so we were sad to hear of the passing of former Montana State Senator Dwayne Ankeny, a former coal miner himself. And we've got a tribute on our Montana Talks website. But John, this was just kind of a knee-jerk reaction I had earlier this morning. I was seeing, you know, the nice tributes from the left and the right and the middle, et cetera, all, you know, pouring in on X and elsewhere for Dwayne Ankeny. And I thought, you know what kind of tribute I want to see for Dwayne Ankeny? I want to see Colstrip 1 and 2 that was shut down by the radical environmentalists, that was shut down by the Democrats. I want to see Colstrip 1 and 2 back up and rolling again. And you know what? This could be the tribute. This could be your bumper sticker. Let's do it for Dwayne. Do it for Dwayne. That's the kind of tribute I want to see because, you know, something that's long-lasting for the very coal families and Montana communities that he went to bat for. Anyway, what's your thoughts on the bumper sticker? Do it for Dwayne.
Oh, absolutely. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to do it. We've got all three branches right here. We've got the EPA. We've got everything. There's no reason why we should not be able to do that. It should have already happened.
There was another story that I was reading. Maybe I was reading it at the same time, but it was a Missoulian story. And a representative from Northwestern Energy was talking to a group in Missoula. And so, of course, the entire article is all these left-wing front groups, these environmental groups that were all questioning the Northwestern Energy guy. The bottom line is we need more electricity. We all know we need more power. And so yesterday, the environmentalists were asking the Northwestern Energy guy, well, where are we going to get the power from? Or they were trying to lecture him about where the power should come from. And I saw a chart recently that showed how many coal-fired power plants the Chinese are building, gigawatts and gigawatts of electricity they're putting online, and then the chart showing the gigawatts of electricity that the environmentalists have forced us to take offline in America or soon to come offline. And if I was in that room, what I would have done is I would have taken a proportion of the room that represented the Chinese coal-fired power production coming online, and then the portion of the room that was not, you know, that was the American power that is being forced offline because of these environmentalists. And then I would have said, okay, all of you on this side of the room, you represent what China is doing with coal-fired power. So why are all of you picking on this tiny handful of people over here? Because just to point out, like in a visual way, what a bunch of hypocrites they are. They only want to undermine American energy. They never say squat about China or what the rest of the world is doing.
Well, me, you know, like we've talked about before, me being a male of the species, Aaron, I can only have the same conversation about three times, and then I'm just done. And we've had this conversation with the left about this global warming and climate BS now for, what is it, 25 years? We all know they're liars. We all know it's a communist scam. And it's played out by the fact that, you know, these people are blowing up hydroelectric dams. They're tearing out the cleanest power in the world. Hydroelectric dams. They won't let you have nuclear. Also, perfectly clean. What does that tell you? It has nothing to do with the environment. It's about control and destruction.
Well, and frankly, you could dismiss, you know, half of that crowd in Missoula by saying, hey, look, you guys can say whatever you want to right now. You have lost Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley is so desperate for power right now that they're not even pushing your Green New Deal scam anymore. They just need electricity, and they need reliable electricity. So you guys are losing your own base, just like we've lost our, you know, electric power base in this country because of you guys. Another topic I wanted to get your take on here, John. So I don't know if you saw a headline. I shared this headline on our Montana Talks website. Another elected official in Montana is outright bailing on the Democrat Party. And this time, once again, from the former, you know, blue-collar Democrat stronghold of Great Falls, Montana. This is Cascade County Attorney Josh Rackey. You know, a few days before Labor Day, he actually announced that he was leaving the Democrat Party, and then he shared a video on Facebook explaining why he was leaving the Democrat Party and joining the Republican Party. Here's his message.
Good afternoon. I'm Josh Rackey. I'm a lifelong Montanan, an Army veteran, and your county attorney. Over the past several years, we've watched the Democrat Party change. The movements to defund the police, the attacks on law enforcement, and putting criminals before victims has gone too far. The Republican Party puts the safety of law-abiding citizens first by standing with law enforcement. I've always served the people of Cascade County with fairness and integrity. Today, I announce my switch to the Republican Party. This decision only strengthens my ability to protect citizens, safeguard the Constitution, and relentlessly pursue justice. I'm proud to continue my work on your behalf now as a Republican County Attorney. I humbly ask for your continued support.
All right. Now, of course, there's a couple of ways to look at this story here, John. First, you know, in light of this huge news story out of Charlotte, North Carolina, where this Ukrainian young woman refugee was slaughtered by a career criminal, put right back out on the streets by liberal judges, liberal prosecutors, liberal politicians.
I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me, John? Okay. All right. Tell you what, John.
Just went out.
Okay, I'll have John call the studio. John, I'm hearing him. For some reason, he's not hearing me. I don't know if he muted me there or what. But, let's see. Caden, give John a call. Have him just call in through the studio line. That'll work. No problem here. He's saying that I cut out. But, two ways to look at this story, and then John will be back with us here in a second. One is, okay, what did he just say there? Over the past several years, we have watched the Democrat Party change. The movements to defund the police, the attacks on law enforcement, and putting criminals before victims has gone too far. Look at the way the liberal media mob is lecturing us in the wake of this Ukrainian woman refugee being slaughtered by a career criminal in Charlotte, North Carolina. They're lecturing us that you can't talk about this. If you share that video, you're a racist. The liberal mayor of Charlotte, North Carolina. What was her immediate response? Frankly, nothing for the victim. But then this apologetic response, basically excuse making for the career criminal. And so everything that the Cascade County Attorney Josh Rackey was talking about there is only getting worse. We've seen it certainly since the COVID-19 craziness And it's only getting worse now, right? And then, so that's one angle to look at this through is, like, here we go, yet another official, yet another, you know, frankly, prosecutor slash law enforcement official saying enough is enough. I am leaving the Democrat Party. All right, John Jackson back with us now. Yeah, John, first off, your take on that angle. And then I also want to have a conversation about, okay, hey, people are leaving the Democrat Party, but does that mean that the Republicans can trust them? Your thoughts on just the first angle here that another prosecutor has said, that's it, this party is too crazy, they're too anti-law enforcement, they're too pro-criminal.
Yeah, that was exactly my take, Aaron, as I heard that. And I'm like, Buford T. Justice in Smoking the Bandit. You know, hold up on that car wash there, gentlemen. Okay, we already have a rhino problem in this state to begin with. So now we're just going to accept with open arms this guy that was a Democrat. And he says, all of a sudden now, because the tide has turned, I'm going to call myself a Republican. Now, call me cynical, Aaron? No, I don't think so.
Well, I think if you learn more about Josh Rackey, I mean, I trust people like Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter. Sheriff Jesse Slaughter left the Democrat Party, and he's more conservative than a lot of, you know, these people who call themselves Republicans and have been Republicans for quite some time. I mean, he's proven himself as a sheriff, pro-Second Amendment, pro-armed, you know, guards in our schools, et cetera. And so when Sheriff Slaughter says, no, hey, this guy's a real deal, and you know, proud to see him, you know, make this move, I think we can trust that. But I do, though, think I had a great conversation with one of our listeners, Aaron, in Three Forks earlier this morning. I do think, though, that there is something where the Democrats now are actively trying to get folks more in line with their viewpoints to run in party primaries as Republicans, especially in eastern Montana, because they know they cannot win as Democrats. And so I think that's partly the problem in the legislature right now, is they're actively recruiting people to run in these Republican primaries that are far less conservative than their electorate.
Well, Sheriff Slaughter, true enough, has shown through deeds, through his very deeds, that he can be trusted. But I'm not listening to people's words, not anymore. You're going to have to show me deeds. I'm going to have to see you as that county attorney up there actually prosecuting people and keeping people in jail and putting them in prison before I'm going to be trusting just your word.
Well, and that's where Sheriff Slaughter will say that's what this guy does. That's what this guy will continue to do. And then, of course, the bigger picture there is, look, in order for us to do those very things, we need more jail space, we need more prison space, and of course, that's the very thing that that the governor and the Republican legislature just delivered on this past legislative session. All right, hold that thought. Back right after this.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
The Montana Department of Livestock has confirmed a case of equine infectious anemia, or EIA, in a horse from Muscle Shell County. The horse was identified during a routine Coggins test, which is required for equine movement across state lines. That positive result was later confirmed by the USDA National Veterinary Services Lab in Ames, Iowa. The property where the horse is housed is now under quarantine, and follow-up testing is being conducted. State officials are also investigating the horse's movement and ownership history to see if other animals were exposed. Any horses that may have come into contact will also be tested. EIA is a potentially fatal viral disease that affects horses, mules, donkeys, and related species. It is spread by biting insects like horse flies or through contaminated needles and equipment. There is no vaccine or treatment for the disease. Symptoms can include fever, weakness, weight loss, anemia, and swelling. However, not all horses show signs of illness, and healthy-looking carriers can still spread the disease. Montana State veterinarian Dr. Tani Szymanski says cases in the state are sporadic and often difficult to trace. She stresses that the best protection is to test new horse purchases in addition to the required testing for interstate movement. Because there's no cure, infected horses face limited options. This is the first case in Montana since 2017. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right back into the phone lines here. 406-294-0970. We'll get to Justin in Columbia Falls. Plus, we got Marilyn in Lolo. Stand by with us on the phone lines. Can't wait to hear your phone calls as well. First, though, let's go to Jim in Great Falls, listening to KINX. Jim, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
I have to say I agree with John. I'm a little skeptical of people switching parties. That's kind of what's happened to the Democratic Party. When the liberals couldn't make it, so they started Trojan horsing into the Democratic Party and blew it up. And that's what's kind of going to happen with some of these that come to the Republican Party, because then they're going to kind of try to put their theories into the party of conservatives. And it's kind of like people leaving their states to come to Montana. And, well, people accept them. Well, they're conservative and they want to come here, but again, they come with their agendas and they try to change farming and ranching, and boys want to all of a sudden go into girls' locker rooms, so they all of a sudden become girls. So I'm just real skeptical when those things happen. I'm not saying that he can't become a conservative Republican, but at the same time, I trust nothing and question everything anymore.
No, I think skepticism of all officials is the right way to go. So, yeah, no, I can appreciate that for sure. John, the other angle I take on this one, and Jim, thanks for the call. John, the other angle that I take on this is I look at some of our friends and our listeners in places like Great Falls, which is where this county attorney is based out of, and some of our listeners in Butte, for example. Heck, some of these folks are more conservative, even though they've been voting Democrat or running as Democrats, some of them are more conservative than a lot of the Republicans out there today. It's just they keep voting for the Democrats because that's what they've always done. Or some of these local, I've had sheriffs in other counties in Montana tell me, I won't name any names, but they have told me, Aaron, I had to run as a Democrat to be sheriff, or I would have never gotten elected in the first place. And so in some of these communities, if you wanted to be a county attorney or a sheriff or a this or that at the local level, you had to wear that badge, right? And then now Great Falls has turned, Donald Trump has turned Great Falls into from a Democrat stronghold now to a Republican stronghold. And I think one day Butte will turn in that direction as well. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I have one of my best friends in the world who I've known since kindergarten. His father was an AFL-CIO guy, so he's a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, but from North Carolina. But I've sat down with him a bunch of times over beers, and we'll go issue by issue, boom, 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 and I'll get his take on these issues. And it's like, dude, you realize that you're a conservative, right? Why do you keep voting Democrat? He is. He's straight up conservative. The only way he is a liberal is for like the work at rights for the working man and the social safety net. But everything else, the guy's conservative.
Well, the current, we talked earlier about Dwayne Ankeny. One of the guys who gave a really nice tribute to Dwayne Ankeny is former Republican state senator, Northern Cheyenne tribal member Jason Small. He's now the executive secretary of the AFL-CIO. And that's why I think, Trump has turned the Republican Party officially into the party of the working class. But because he's done that, now, of course, the Democrats have to do the opposite of everything that Trump does, just because orange man bad, right? So they just have to do the opposite. And so that's why they constantly take this anti-worker approach. And they're now run by the radical environmentalists. So big labor got kicked to the curb. Let's see. Let's go next to Justin in Columbia Falls. Justin, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Oh, I'm glad to see that Josh is finally seeing the light. It must be nice to see some sunshine with his head removed from his derriere.
so you knew him, and you're glad to see that he took that old badge off, huh?
Yeah, we went to school together, so.
So what would you say is to the people who are out there saying, look, I get skeptical whenever somebody says they're leaving that party to join this new one. Can you trust them? I trust Sheriff Slaughter. When Sheriff Slaughter says, hey, you can trust this county attorney, he's the real deal, I trust what Sheriff Slaughter says. What would you say?
Oh, I think you can trust him, too. He's a pretty good dude.
All right.
Football together and stuff.
Oh, where'd you guys play football?
In Big Fork.
Awesome. Very cool. All right. Viking, right?
Yep.
All right. You eat lefse, too? You know, you got to eat lefse if you're a real Viking.
Yep. I'm glad to hear he's finally seeing some sunshine.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. Justin in Columbia Falls, great to hear from you. By the way, I just got to see some great JV football action there in Columbia Falls. The Columbia Falls kids were there. The Vikings were there from Big Fork, Whitefish, a whole bunch of Browning, a whole bunch of great kids were there. It was so fun to see a bunch of those teams. Let's see. Let's sneak in another caller. Go ahead and send Marilyn to us next there, Caden, if you can patch Marilyn down to us, and we'll sneak in her call and then get John's take on all the above here. And then another story I know John wants to get to before we run out of time is the new jobs numbers. Well, these aren't new jobs numbers. They're old jobs numbers that apparently had to be revised. Yet another revision. And these aren't this year's job numbers. These are last year's job numbers. John will tell us here in just a second. First, though, let's go to Marilyn in Lolo. Marilyn, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. First of all, do you like your new phone system?
No. It's got some significant improvements that we need to make to it. So I'll just leave it at that. Yeah.
We could take a poll, a survey. I see what we think about it. Anyway.
Oh, I think we know that survey. It's like, what was this? It was like the Gallup poll from a couple weeks ago where they asked Democrats how happy they are. And Kellyanne Conway said it's the first time she's ever seen a poll that said 0%.
Yeah. Okie dokie. So on with my show here. No, your show.
Hey, our show.
So what I'm really concerned about is I think we need to go back to calling this a spiritual battle, that we are in a spiritual battle for the soul of our nation and for the soul of our people. This is a battle of good and evil, and the fact that we keep referring, mental illness, that just makes people a victim, and it's a cop-out. A lot of these people are getting out of prison time because they can claim I'm mentally ill, but, most of us know stories out of the Bible where the demonics are cured when they give their heart to Jesus and submit to his precepts and the Bible and all those good things that come out of that. And we, on our side, for too many years have bought into the, when the Dems said we should be Big Tent, we became Big Tent. And, we've seen the rhino problem. Hello. And we have been tolerant. We've accepted the evil on the Democrat side. And, well, we need to quit calling them democratic because there's nothing democratic about them. And atheism, communism, that's why communists are communists, because they're atheists. I mean,
why are they flying this anti-religious symbol? Why are they taking a symbol that actually that is a religious biblical symbol, and why are they twisting a religious biblical symbol to attack people of faith? And why are they then hoisting that symbol over city buildings in Missoula and in Butte of all places and in Bozeman? I think to your point about are we in a spiritual battle in America right now? Some of you may be agnostic, but let's put it in this perspective. Think about it. 25, 30 years ago, what were the differences between the parties? The differences were, what do you want to do? I've got a Social Security lockbox. What are you going to do with Social Security? It's running out of money. What are you going to do? 25 years ago, what do you want the tax rates to be set at? Are we going to set the taxes at this? What are the debates today? The debates today are flooding this country with illegal aliens from all over the world, including radical Islamists. The debates today are, why are you throwing peaceful pro-life protesters behind bars but allowing career criminals to run the streets and run rampant? And no matter what your spiritual beliefs are, if you have seen the video of that man in Charlotte, North Carolina, opening up his knife and stabbing that young Ukrainian woman refugee in the neck repeatedly, and then bragging about how he got the white girl. Again, no matter what your spiritual beliefs are, if you've seen that video, would you not describe it as the word that Marilyn just used, demonic? Or do you just dismiss it away like CNN and like the left-wing mayor of Charlotte and just say, oh, that's just, give me a break. You know there is much more going on in this country right now. Marilyn, thanks for the call. We'll get John Jackson's take right after this, and then we got more callers on the line as well.
Montana.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, now we are really getting into the lightning round portion of the show. We got more great callers to sneak on to the phone lines here. First, though, John Jackson, got to get your reaction to a few of the phone calls that we've gotten here in the last few minutes.
Well, yeah, this whole subject of mental illness in big quotes, I'm frankly sick of it. It's the same crapola they've tried to pull for years with alcoholism and drug addiction, that if you're in that category, that whatever you do, you're not responsible for. So therefore, you don't have to pay the consequences for it. Because that's the excuse so they can get it to a point where nobody ever has to be held accountable for anything. And I saw Eric Matheny say this on X, which I thought summed it up beautifully about the thing in Charlotte and about crime overall. And he said this: my right to ride the bus without being stabbed in the throat supersedes any sympathy society should have for your mental illness. This idea that we have to pander and cater to people because of mental illness is BS. Take your pills and act right, or go live in a hospital.
Well, that's why President Trump, I think he's right on to talk. Charlie Kirk, I played a soundbite yesterday where it's like, hey, maybe it is time to reopen insane asylums in America. Now, they'll be better run than they were back in the day, right? But maybe that's what it's time to do. Because I'm with you. You see the same excuse making with the guy who murdered four people, the suspect in the shootings in Anaconda. Oh, well, maybe he had schizophrenia, or maybe it was this, or maybe it was this. Well, then he was well known to local law enforcement. Maybe it's another reason why we need to reopen insane asylums, but no more excuses. Great point, John. Let's go next to John in Kalispell, listening to KJJR. John, what's your thoughts this morning?
Well, I have a comment on the individual out of talking about conservatives. My question is, what is conservative? And when you look at the Republican Party, there's a lot of Democrats or soft Republicans that have gone in, and they love government, and it's big government. And they can't get elected in, we'll say, the eastern portions of the state or potentially up in the Flathead area. It used to be that way in Ravalli County as well as Gallatin County. You had to run as a Republican, but those individuals run as Republicans. So they just moved over from the Democrat Party into the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And no matter what is conservative? My opinion is it is limited government, less spending. Leave it to individuals and not the communities or the people of the whole, because the communities are the ones that have screwed this country over in total. Because, oh my gosh, the best common words, or the worst, I should say, in any language or law or anywhere in the Constitution is for the public good.
Or I think wasn't there a great Ronald Reagan quote to go with that? The most feared words in the English language. I'm with the government and I'm here to help. Speaking of Ronald Reagan, Caden, thanks for the call, John and Kalispell. Let me free up the phone line here. Caden, send us James in Shepherd next if you can. We got James in Shepherd listening to KBUL. Okay, I think this is him right now.
James in Shepherd.
Okay, James, turn your radio down and then, tell us what you want to share with folks across Montana.
Well, I just want us all to remember what Reagan said. I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me. And I'm sure people were skeptical when he became a Republican way back in the 70s after being an active Democrat. So I guess we got to give people a certain amount of leeway. If they actually change philosophy, maybe we should give them a shot.
Very good point. Look at how many people were skeptical of Donald Trump when he started running for president as Republican, and a lot of people that were very dismissive and scoffed at him. But look at the strength of this president right now, much like the strength of President Reagan. Yeah, great point, James. Thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. John Jackson, your thoughts? Tell us about the jobs numbers that just got revised once again before we run out of time.
Yeah, it turns out from April 24 here to March of 25, another 900,000 jobs were fake, were phony, were never there, were fraud committed by the Biden regime, lying the whole time about their economic outlook. And now that brings it to a total to almost about 2 million jobs they lied about. We know that. Everything they told you for 4 years was a lie. So, of course, they're going to lie about the jobs numbers, which is why Trump had to fire the lady that was still sitting there that was doing this stuff. He fired her here about a month ago because she tried to do the same thing to him.
Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time. By the way, the NFIB Montana just sent out a very positive statement about the economy and small business confidence. So small businesses in Montana, very confident. All right, before we run out of time, we got about 30 seconds to go. Let's take you to Rick in Hot Springs. I thought it was Hot Springs, Montana, but it's Arkansas. Rick, good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Just north of Moose Nuts.
Okay.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I follow both you guys on X, and I just want to let you two know that you're doing a great job, and we're spreading the word down here. You've got listeners far and wide. Keep up the good work.
That's incredible. That means a lot. My battle buddy in basic training in Fort Benning was an Arkansas guy. John, I don't know if you knew this, but apparently Moose Nuts is just south of Moose Jaw. I don't know if you knew that or not, but a little geographic reference for you.
We use that all the time on X and on Spaces talking about